Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
This is Sean O'Brien, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast, hosted by Chris and Shane. You don't have to buckle up for this one, because it's not going to go that far.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, Episode 10. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Download on iTunes and Stitcher, subscribe, let us know how we're doing. Our guest this week is the very funny comedian, Sean O'Brien.
Yeah, on, man. Thanks. I appreciate that, guys. Thank you for having me. I guess let's get this out of the gate. Can I curse?
Sure.
Yes, but we can't now play it at, like, school assemblies.
Okay.
So if that's cool, I mean, if that's
well,
cool.
Well, no, not that, and the reason I say that, I'm not, like, it's a horrible trait of mine is that I don't even know I'm doing it sometimes because I do on stage. I'm not a dirty comedian, but I do curse. So I don't know if you count that as dirty if you're listening. I don't think it is. But by accident, like I was at my brother's wedding in Florida last weekend, and he's got two stepdaughters now, and they're like 3 and 5. And there's never a moment in my life where I have to have a filter on. Because I either work comedy where you don't have to have one, or I work at a bar where you can just be a scumbag, so I can constantly just drop F-bombs. And I don't mean to do it. Sometimes I don't know. Well, that's what I deal with these kids. And like, we're in the car. Right. I'm like, oh, man. I was like, I'll tell you what. Could you see that fucking bridge over there? That is. And they're looking at me like, are you out of your mind? You can't say that. And I'm like, I didn't even know what I said. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then I'm like, then I say, and I'm like, yeah. So that's why I want to get it out of the way. I'll definitely try not to.
You're totally good.
But
you're
if
totally
I do good. A little bit, try, like, I used to do one of these myself called Tackling Tough Issues, and they were joking at me because I think I said the F word like 92 times an hour.
You didn't edit it, right?
We didn't edit a thing ever. And then they're like, hey, next time, just try not to say it once. I'm like, no problem, I just won't do it. And then I barely said it like 7 times. I still couldn't control. So outside of that, if you're listening to this and that and bad language makes you upset. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. My son, like, you know, he's 2 and a half, and he gets on our phone all the time, and he'll get on YouTube and Vine. Well, Vine is horrible for, like, these 6 seconds of people just swearing.
Yeah, it's open content, right?
Yeah,
there's
right.
No film. I mean, you could have porn on there, right?
Yeah. Well, I would assume so.
I think you can do anything you want in 6 seconds.
The first thing he picked up was this video. It's like, I'm a boss-ass bitch. So now my 2-year-old's like,
oh, that's always good.
And then the other day we were laying in bed, and he was just hanging out. And there's something like, da 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 da, oh, fuck off. And then my son's like, da da da, fuck off.
Yep.
Fuck off. I'm like, oh, Ricky, no, we can't be saying these swear words. So as long as he doesn't listen to it, you're fine.
Is your 2-year-old's on Vine? How does that happen?
He is amazing on our phone. He can pull up and he gets on YouTube and it's just, it's not probably good at all.
Yeah, and you gotta be careful with that.
I deleted it off my phone because he'll go in and he'll just start watching stuff, and my wife's like, what is he watching? And I'm like, I don't know, but I hear it. And
so then do you have that problem? You're not gratuitously cursing, but do you gotta like put your little filter on in front of your kid and be like, I'll make sure I act like a role model, like a good dad should?
No, I don't swear like crazy, but like if something happens, you're like, oh shit. And then you just hear in the background, oh shit. Like my wife, she'll probably like be mad from here, but like I don't remember what it was. If like the dog was getting her, she had coffee. She's like ah shit. So now anytime my son jumps off, like he jumps all around, whatever, he's like shit. And so he picks up on it and like
right.
It's not that we swear crazy, but when he hears it,
he just grabs it, man. Well, we just gotta say positive words at your house,
right.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, you just be like, yeah, you just gonna be like, it's a beautiful day, beautiful, and just start screaming that.
And I'm like, just fuck off. I'm like, oh, he still picked it up. Jeez. So how long you been doing comedy? You've been doing it for,
I'm at it 5 years. You know, I always, that question's always, it's a hard one because you usually go by the time, I guess it's measured by the first time you're on stage.
I was gonna say, I guess it's not like, okay, when did you say something funny?
So basically, yeah, May 20th, 2008 was the first open mic I did.
Yeah.
And I kind of got forced up there by my buddy of mine named Keith Sissel, who Shane knows, a comic out of St. Louis. And You know, it's very, very classic story, as most, or, you know, very typical open first-time story. I brought out, like, I was working at the stupid Cheesecake Factory, so I brought out, like, 30 employees. Keep in mind, that's half the room. So you bring out half the room, you go up once, so I'm, like, shaking like a leaf, nervous as anyone is usually the first time. But I go up there, I do my 4 minutes, and what is perceived is it sounds like I kill.
Yeah.
Because I had all the pee, I stacked the room.
Yeah.
So I'm like, holy shit, I got something going here. Like, I was like, I might actually be, this might be something I'm going to run with. Like, right. I didn't have an ego, but I was like, put me on next week.
Confidence boost,
so then I went up next week bringing no one. Ate shit.
Yeah.
I mean, bombed miserably. So now I'm like on depression suicide watch because it's an awful feeling.
Right.
And I'm up there. I was so nervous at the second one that I kind of got this like mini heckle from this woman. And I remember I was so like afraid of it. I just kept walking backwards on the stage and crashed into the Funny Bone sign. I was walking out of nerve. And then now I just look like more of a jackass
because
I'm bumping into shit. And then I actually turned around. This is just how nervous and scared I was. And I apologized to the sign. Not being funny. That wasn't for humor. I just was like, oh, sorry. Like, that was a person behind me. A
courteous thing.
And, I'm like, oh, where am I? Sorry, heckler, for not handling you. Keep yelling. Oh, and I just did it. So then after that, that was like 2 weeks after the first open mic.
Yeah.
So then I took like a four-month break.
Yeah.
Or break, not break. I just stopped. I'm like, no, this isn't for me. I didn't go back. And then so this guy, I know Greg Warren, who another comedian, headliner from St. Louis. I knew him from working at the club. I also bartend at the time at the Westport. Funny one. And he's like, why didn't you go? I saw you go out. Why did you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I quit. And he goes, you quit? He goes, you can't quit. You didn't even start, you idiot. And I'm like, no, Greg, you got to understand. I'm like trying to tell him how it works. He's been on stage about 15,000 times, minimum, I bet. And he's like, that's exactly what he said. He's like, yeah, go on stage 1,000 times and then get back to me with this. I quit. He goes, shut the fuck. He goes, you didn't even go. Just get on stage for a year and who cares? So I'm like, well, all right. So then I just started trying to be like, all right, well, if you got to go up and bomb, that's part of the process.
Right.
So then I went back on stage in like that September of that year of OA and then just kept going up consistently. But then it was like another thing. Then I took like another 6 months off like a year later because I didn't like the way my act was.
Yeah.
So back to the original question. It's like it's hard when someone's like, how long you've been doing it.
Right.
You know, I'd say at least consistently well doing, consistent for the past, so 4 years. But technically, I think it's, so what's it, 6 years I've been my first time on stage. So, and now I'm like, you know, everyone's like, I think I have pretty good self-awareness of where I am and like, you know, I'm not one of those guys where I'm like, oh, yeah, I got 45, I got 30. To be honest, I think I'm an MC who happens to be featuring right now in a few places. Like, and I'm not saying I don't have any good, I'm not funny or have any good material. I think I do. But, you know, it's a very subjective, you know, when you're at a level of, like, what I'm at, and someone's like, well, what are you? Are you a headliner? Are you an MC? Are you a feature? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm between this MC feature. I featured some clubs, and I MC at some clubs.
Yeah.
You know? And some clubs, they don't have me, and some clubs will be like, hey, go do this bar show and do an hour. You're like, well, I don't have that time, you know?
Right. Is there too much, like, do you feel like labels in terms of, like, you're headliner, or, do you feel like that's just kind of, like, not necessary? You can just be like, I go up there, and I'm just a comedian. Do you feel like there even needs to be a... I understand that.
In terms of a structure of a show, you know, at a legitimate comedy club, there's going to be, it's generally a three-level process.
Right.
It's generally the MC, the feature, and the headliner. And if you're at a legitimate club and you're slotted at one of those, I mean, that's probably what you are.
Yeah.
I MC consistently at the Omaha Funny Bone, like 6 times a year.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I am. I'm an MC. Now, there's some guys who come up and they do guest spots.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and that's just when, you know, a guy does a little bit of time, like 6 minutes between the MC and the feature act, usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, some people, I guess they just get a little wrapped up in their own head about who they are, where they are. I mean, for me, it's just, I don't give a shit what you call me. Just, when you put me on your stage, I'll do.
Right. It's just,
I'll do what I can. But at the same time, I think a mistake a lot of guys make, and I'm certainly no expert on this, but I mean, I did... You know, from working at the club as well, you do get to see a lot of stand-up as an employee. I mean, not just as a guy doing comedy, but as an employee. And is that a lot of guys, I think, they do want to push themselves, and they want to, which is fine. I'm not saying don't push yourself a little bit, but they try and throw themselves in. Oh yeah, I'm a feature. I got 30 minutes, and it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't. You know how to bullshit and talk for 30 minutes.
Yeah,
but you just don't have a killer habit. If I say I have 30 minutes, I want to be like, to me, if I would say that to someone, I'm telling you in my own words that I have a killer bam, 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 half hour.
Yeah,
there's none of this lull, like, and that to me is what an honest comedian would be. Yeah. If someone's like, you know, I got this amount of time. Because if someone asks me how much time I have, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I hate my fucking act. That's the problem. I don't like what I'm doing up there.
Yeah.
And I just question why people laugh at me. And I think they're wrong for doing it sometimes. Sometimes I'll get laughs and I just don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And the audience is just fucking dumb to laugh at my horse shit, you know? But I get away with it a little bit because I think I have I'm not more of a, you know, I get away with more personality than I do joke writing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, someone's like, well, how much time you have? I'm like, I don't know. I probably shouldn't be doing a half an hour, but.
Yeah.
Again, it's all subjective. You know, right. I could go do a show right now in 30 minutes and Shane will love me. And then he brings his buddy and he's like, I don't know, that is not for me. You know, so it just.
Yeah.
It's like it is. It's just like music, man. It's just whatever. You know, right. One guy likes country, the other guy likes hip hop. Fair enough. It's not fucking. So.
You'd probably tell me a hip hop guy though, right?
Me, I'm all right. I'm with music. Yeah, I'm a real. I'll grab hold of a song, and I get maniacal with it. I will play that fucking song 500 times in a row. I'm the repeat guy, and I drive everyone associated with me out of the room. They don't want to like in a car or anything. And that's all I'll do. I'll just grab a song. And I don't mean for like I'll play it on repeat for 2 weeks. I mean for like 6 months. Like I'm gonna get shit on for this one because everyone just clowns this band. I like Coldplay. I'll say it. I know it. I know. I get it.
Well, that'll be the end of the podcast.
Yep. Pack it up. I understand. But here, you know what it is. I also like music, sonically more than lyrically.
Yeah.
Like I'm just a big sound guy, which is sad because the true art of it is also the appreciation of the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But. To me, if it just sounds good to my ear, that's all I give a shit about. I mean, I know, maybe, I don't know if that's the wrong way to listen. I had this talk with a friend of mine last night, and he's on completely different wavelengths than me. He's like, he's all in majority for the lyrics, and of course, obviously, it should sound good, but I mean, it's like, when I told him I like Coldplay, he's just like, you just make me want to puke. I get how that's garbage. I mean, he's just, and I'm like, Clock sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That just sounds good. That intro with the piano or whatever, keyboard, it sounds amazing. So I like it. So why am I wrong? Why am I on trial here for liking this damn song?
Yeah.
But I don't, that, and the thing, I'm just a fan of music. I'm not a musician. Yeah. I don't know the business. I never worked behind the scenes of it.
Yeah.
But there's this kid, I don't even know if you call it. It's like I guess this kid with a laptop called Washed Out. That's the name of his thing. And I guess it's just him with a keyboard, iPad or a Mac or whatever, and he's just making sounds, and I love it. I play it constantly, and people, I don't even want to say that out loud, because people would, I'd probably be like stoned to death, because it's like not real and authentic or something. I guess that makes me.
That whole idea, like, of music, and we were talking about, I think it was Jeff Nations or who it was, but, like, the whole idea of what good music is, it's just a complete joke to argue with anyway, because, like, there's people that, like we've said, have talked about, like, Nickelback being the shittiest band in the world.
Yeah.
And there's got to be doing something right because there's millions of people who love them.
And don't tell me it's just 14-year-old kids. No, it's not. Right. There are adults at the Nickelback concerts, all right?
Yeah.
They're another one. They're like, I think Coldplay's the new Nickelback in terms of the punchline.
Yeah.
Because like 2 years ago, man, you could just insert Nickelback into anything and it's a punchline.
Yeah.
You know? Creed. It'd be like, Creed. Yeah, the Creed was before. And it's like, you know what? I'm indifferent with Nickelback. There's nothing I like about them. Yeah. But I don't have this. Like, I don't know where this fuel of like, hatred comes from.
Oh, Nickelback!
And then the whole thing about, oh, they sold out, and it's like, well, what do you expect?
Yeah.
If Apple came to me when Steve Jobs was alive, he's like, hey, Coldplay, or you too, can I use one of your songs for 30 seconds? I don't know. We'll give you $10 million.
Yeah.
Count me in.
I don't know.
Band wouldn't
really
do that?
I love my music. I don't think I can.
Oh,
just,
and then the problem, because why? Is it overproduced and all that shit? Well, yeah, you know what? They have supply and demand now. Now you have 100 million people that are dying to hear something, so they do. Then they probably do just put out a product that is overproduced, and there's all these gizmo sounds and get it. And like, because if you, I'm a huge, that's my favorite band in the world is U2, by the way.
Oh.
Big, big U2 fan. And a lot of the arguments you'll hear someone say, they'll be like, I like the old shit. You know, yeah. That's like the, I feel like that's every bit. No one ever likes the new shit, I feel. It's always, I like the old shit. And it's like, well, yeah, but they also, they weren't who they were today back in 1984, you know, when the War album came out. Or
a lot of people, they're growing up and they associate, like, that time frame of their life with those bands. So when they're older and they listen to it, like, this is something different that I'm not used to, what I liked before. And then they're like, this, they suck because, like,
Suck. Why? Because they have a producer who uses a synthesizer in the band. I don't understand. That's the part I don't get. I don't understand. No, what it is you just don't like what they're. You just don't like the sound. Yeah. You don't like it for. I don't know if it's a lyricist. You don't like the lyrics, or you don't like sonically. You just don't like the music. Is that what it is? But I'm telling you, there's a thing that society dictates to certain people who you should hate and like.
Right.
And it's like, and they get caught up in that, and they're like, oh no, I gotta hate. Nickelback, because that's what society's doing.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to give him a shot. It's like, you even listen to the fucking album?
Right.
How would you know?
Yeah.
What? From the two songs on the whatever. I mean, I guess that's my point is somewhat jaded. Because, I guess they do. Also, if you listen to radio, then I haven't listened to the radio since 1998. I don't know how that's even still a thing.
Yeah.
iPod, Pandora, Spotify. Right.
Yeah.
iPods, who the hell, CDs, made some, who is that? I don't know that's, but.
Yeah. I haven't listened to radio.
I think most of the people that like rip on Nickelback and Coldplay or whatever band you want to insert there.
Right.
I think the people that rip on them the most are the people that are probably actually listening to them. You know, it's like they're, you know, they want to fit in. So like, oh yeah.
Sure. That's just it. I mean, because they're really big bands.
Yeah.
So again, who's buying these songs? And stop it with your argument that it's 12-year-old boys. No, it's not just them.
Yeah.
It is not just them because they're buying One Direction and Hanson and all or whatever.
Hanson. Oh man, okay.
Hold on.
Hanson's pretty good shit now.
Are they? Legitimately,
they're actually pretty good musicians, and that's one of the bands that like yours with Coldplay. I'll say you.
And that's fair.
Hanson's actually a pretty legitimate band now, and I would totally see them live. Not to say that I was like. Play Oombop, but like their newer stuff. I'm like, that's pretty actually good stuff. They're good musicians now, and
but it's like you can't even pick on them. And Oombop is that corny and cheap? Yeah. How about they laugh at us while they keep collecting their million bucks off that song? Yeah. They played that song at a spot in the Hangover movie, wasn't it? Like in the beginning scene with Galifianakis with the giraffe, he was playing that song. Boom! By that playing in that movie for 30 seconds, that probably got him a million downloads.
Yeah.
You know, so go ahead, pick on me, because I understand. You want authentic, and you want something to be real and true. I completely understand that. But let's be honest with each other. Like, if there's a chance to have a money grab, even though you don't feel as pure or genuine to it, are you really going to hold back and be like, nah, I'm going to stay in the one bedroom with the wall-to-wall facing the gumster, because I'm going to be honest to my art form.
Yeah.
Or I might have a couple producers come in and trick out my shit, but it's also going to make me an extra $20 million.
Right.
You take the fucking money in a New York minute, and you're lying to me if you're not. You're a lying sack of shit if you wouldn't take that. And it does suck, because that's what happens, is that then you do hear a song like Beautiful Day by U2, and it's all... Again, literally, it's just kind of silly. It just like rhymes, and you're like, "Oh, this is the same band who had the Joshua Tree," you know. But
it's all like, and I think sometimes people enjoy, especially now with the internet message board. I mean, I say the internet like it just started yesterday, but like people would love to hate on people who say, you know, it's just like trolling them, because they're like, "There's no such thing as good and bad music. Regardless, you like it, somebody else hates it. You hate it, somebody else likes it. There's no black and white of good and bad music, good or bad movies. I mean." Somebody's going to like it.
And by the way, you know what you're really doing by when someone... So, again, I keep using Nickelback and Coldplay as a crutch, but when you get a mass group of people shitting on these bands, you're actually taking more people to them. Because then you're taking the person who's like, well, I don't really listen to them. Well, let me see what is so awful.
Right.
Like, I kind of want to peek behind the curtain and figure out, what is this garbage that you speak of? They're winning by that. You just are actually helping their cause. Right. It was kind of like that thing. This is kind of a... I don't want to turn the subject in a dark way, but that Tracy Morgan accident that happened about a month ago.
Yeah.
And TMZ had a video of like 30 seconds of one of the guys in the accident. Not Tracy Morgan, but what is it? One of the other guys.
Yeah.
And And I, it was like a friend of Louis C.K., and that's the biggest comic in the world. You know, if I get 1/1000th of his talent, then I'll be happy. So I'm not in no way judge. But then he went on Twitter, because what happened was TMZ got a clip of them getting one of the guys getting taken out of the wrecked vehicle.
Yeah.
And there was like an 8-second clip of showing his like body all like, you know, like injured. And TMZ put it up. Well, then Louis C.K. is like, "Hey TMZ, please take that video down of my friend." I respectfully, I think you just caused more harm than good there, because now you're going to bring 5.5 million people, because that's how we are as a society. Yeah. We like to see fucked up shit. Like, I don't know why we do.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like you do want to pee. You're like, "Oh, well, what happened?" I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. It was horrible, because I guess I'm a part of the problem, but I didn't know about it until I saw it on Louis, and then I went to the TMZ thing, and then I saw it.
Yeah.
So I really just added more to the problem.
Yeah.
And the thing is, a guy at that level, that guy's like, what, 10 million followers or whatever. He's one of the biggest guys in this business. And, again, obviously the intention is good, and it's a friend, and I completely... But I almost think that's what you can't do, you know? You got to be like, just... Hopefully no one talks about it. That's...
Yeah.
If I truly hate something, I feel like going on and bitching about it. If I had that level of fame, I'm actually just helping...
Right.
The person's cause, because I'm creating attention.
Yeah. It's not like such thing as bad. Was it bad?
Yeah. I mean, kind of, sort of. Yeah. I mean, I guess it all depends on the subject matter and what it is.
Yeah.
But like for that example, I was just kind of like, and that is one of the brightest, again, probably the best comic I bet, you know, working arguably. And I was like, I just don't know if that would have been the right play.
Right.
Because you might just bring people who don't know about it into that, because again, that's how you do want to see.
People like, want to see the train wreck.
What is it that... And comics are crazy. Like, we don't fucking care about shit. So it's like, if Louis like, "Nah, I don't, this is not cool."
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, what is Louis... What is he talking about? That's not cool."
Right. What kind of, like, got... Not under his skin, but, you know, what kind of, like...
Yeah.
What's the way to say it? But, you know, what baffled him in a sense of, like, this... Why, what are you guys
doing? Well, my guess is he's a good friend of his. And what they do, it is shitty. It's shitty, but what they do is you bring all that traffic to your website. Now they can justify to advertisers, you know, "Hey, look, I had 3,000 hits in 10 minutes today," or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you want to, can I put in a page and you can pay me $1 million a month to run your ad or whatever. Right. So that's... Do you think TMZ took it down?
Right.
They love it. What they're hoping for is now Justin Bieber will retweet it and post the same shit, you know? I mean, so that's all you're doing if you're telling the whole world not to look at something.
Yeah.
And they're
going to go check it out.
That's probably what's going to probably happen, you know?
I
don't even know how I got on that. We were somewhere else, and somehow I jumped over there. It was the music thing.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't even know how we got on music. Here I am. I'm talking about a fan, and I do stand-up as a stand-up. I'm a stand-up guest, and I'm not even talking about
comedy. I think you're just setting up for that crossover for you.
I'm setting up. One last thing about music, though. I do want to play. I do love... There is a band, though, A New Obsession. And Shane, I think you know them, the Boxer Rebellion.
Yeah.
You like those guys?
They're all right.
Here's the thing. Again,
Boxer Rebellion sucks.
It's kind of like if you like that U2 Coldplay. I've heard, like, Radiohead comparisons to Verve. And the only cool thing about that band is that I think they're pretty big in Europe. That's where they're from, right? But I mean, they got a little. They did a club down in the city. The Gramophone, yeah. But they did it. It was on a Saturday night in the World Series game, Cardinals in October last year.
Oh yeah.
So there's like no one. I mean, it's St. Louis. St. Louis World Series. Forget about it. You know, just shut it down. Unless you're a bar with a flat screen, not a shot in hell. You're gonna have any. So I'm like, man, I had tickets to the show. I was like, because I like these guys. I want to see the show. I mean, are these guys even going to cancel? I mean, how's it going to happen? There was like 22 people. And I'm standing in front, man. I'll give it to these guys, though, man. They had the game on in the bar.
Yeah.
People, and then, so the 22 people are there. 18 of them are looking at the game.
Yeah.
And me and the three other dudes. And I love baseball in this town, but I was like, you get to see a band that you really dig front row. And they fucking hung in there, man.
Yeah.
They played an hour and a half, full set. And I got to hang out and meet the guys. And it was like, that was really... He goes, that was a rough one. He was like, he's like, we just did like a 5,000 thing show in London like 2 months prior.
Yeah.
And it's like, now it's like, I can't even get someone to look at me, you know? Like someone saw like a Cardinals would get a hit or a home run. And it was like right during between songs. So you heard this. And it's like, no, that's not for you, man. For the game.
Don't even try and take the Cardinals thunder, sir.
Okay? But I just remember not only was that guy, the lead singer, super cool, but the whole band was cool. I got to talk to him, hang out with him, get a picture with all of them. The one guy followed me back on Twitter, which I always thought was Nate, the lead singer, because I followed him that day. He's like, oh, I have my little pictures of me on stage.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, you're a comic? I'm like, oh, he's like, cool, I'll give you a follow. I'm like, I'll support him. It's cool, you know? So that's one of those guys I'd love to see blow up, and that'd be kind of neat to have that in my arsenal. But, yeah, I got to see those guys in front of, like, with 15 people, you know?
Well, it's kind of, a unique story behind it. That's, that's one thing that I'll justify with a band being horrible is if they're just douchebags. Because, like, that's one thing. If bands, like, if they're cool with their fans, they don't think they're bigger than everybody else, that's an admirable thing, I think, because a lot of people let it kind of go to their heads. And I think if they're cool enough to say, I don't care how many albums you sold, if they're going to chill. I mean, obviously, you don't want to get mobbed by if you're a huge, huge band. But, like, if you take time to hang out with your fans or be cool with them and not think you're top shit, like, I think that's more admirable. And I'll say, despite what your music sounds like, if you're just a cool...
Sure. You know, I mean, a lot of that applies to comics, too. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people like certain comedians. I mean, you know, I don't want to like, throw anyone under the bus here. But, I mean... I have heard stories. I'd say the majority. See, I'm in an interesting situation because not only I mentioned I do comedy, work at the bar, but then I also pick up these guys from the airport.
Oh,
I do the media with them. I take them to the radio. I take them to the TV, and I do their airport runs. And pretty much, they don't have cars, obviously, because they're not. So I take them where they go. So you get to build a lot of rapport. Well, I've been doing this for the past 7 years, six years, driving these, you know, and you got to say, man, that's the one nice thing. Everyone has been, you know, there's no one's big time me. No one's really been arrogant. Everyone, you know, you know, but I mean, I have heard some stories about, and I'll just say this, and I'm not saying it's true, I'm just saying, but I heard, for example, years ago, I heard Jeff Dunham, I heard he was a problem, he was hard to work with, in terms of, like, from a staff, was telling me, you know, this, and it was like, but then you see the guy in TV, and it's just clean, with the puppets and all that, and, like, I'll go to a family party, and I'm like, oh, do you see that Jeff Dunham guy? He's amazing, he's really special, and it's like, in my head, I'm like... That's probably a fucking douche. I mean, I've heard he, you know.
Booking him, no.
Right. Thanks a lot. No, my wife's mom used to work at a country club in St. Louis, and she used to say, you know, she'd get a bunch of hockey players, and she said, like, celebrities, you know, old SNL guys would come through there, and she'd say there's some guys who are just, like, total just assholes. And she's like, they may seem cool on TV, but, like, you meet them, and they're just assholes.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Well, and then, you know, I try and be level, because it's like, then again, you never
they can be having a bad day.
You really don't know. I mean, some of these guys go on the road 40 weeks a year, you know, and they're like, I mean, it is a job, man, and you know, and you're like gonna grind out, and you don't know what's going on in your personal life, so it's like oh, sorry, St. Louis bartender driver, I'm not all bubbly with you in the first 10 seconds and I'm keeping it to myself, but now go around and tell the whole world I'm an asshole. It's like, oh, thanks a lot. My wife was fucking someone else, so my head's not right.
I didn't disclose
that to you after I've known you for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And thanks for judging me. So, the Jeff Dunham thing, again, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I was just saying, for example...
Yeah,
I was told it was a rough. Maybe it was a higher maintenance guy, but again, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe that was one the same week. He just wasn't.
And sometimes people like they can take a person's how they say things totally the wrong way.
Yeah, like, it's all context, man.
Just like, hey, man, you know. So yeah, it's all.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I was gonna say earlier when you're talking about Boxer Rebellion and how like you know played like a 5,000 thing and all that. One of my favorite stories, I follow Will Hogue around a lot. He's a singer-songwriter from Nashville and had a song called Even If It Breaks Your Heart that Eli Young Band did now in country radio, made it number one hit. And everybody knows Eli Young Band's version, but nobody really knows Will Hogue, who's been singing it for, you know, the song's been around like 5 years and just became a hit now. And, last time I saw Will, he was telling the story on stage and how, like, he was, because he plays for his shows, he headlines and he'll play for 50, 60 people a lot of times in these clubs because he's still relatively unknown. But Eli Young invited him on tour to, like, write more songs on the bus and stuff. So he got to go on stage and perform with them. And they were opening for Kenny Chesney. So, like, they're playing these massive venues with like, you know, 40, 50,000 people a night. And so he's telling a story about that his shows, you know, there's nobody there. And then he goes on there with them and hearing 40,000 people singing his song back to him, you know?
Yeah.
And how, and then like, so like they said, like St. Louis, they were like 40,000 people. And then they went to like Chicago and there was like, you know, 60,000 or something like that. And then they, And he said he's just back there playing guitar. He's like, yeah, I wrote this motherfucker. made me laugh because, like, that's how I love seeing these guys in these small clubs and,
beautiful,
and getting a very intimate show, and then you get to hang out with them and you develop this rapport, this friendship,
yeah,
and stuff. And
it's what we were talking about before the show. Is that, you know, I mean, this is not a name drop or anything. I mean, I'm just being honest right now, but I mean, Billy Gardell, Mike and Molly. I mean, he was a club comic when I started at the club as when I was doing open mics, but I was driving him around. I was picking him up. Billy Gardell's a big dude in a 2-door 1997 Mustang and buzzing him around, man. And we're at Best Buy and we're looking at DVDs and he's like, oh, I met that guy. He's a prick. Hey, that guy's cool as shit right there. And then no shit, 4 years later, I'm in Best Buy and what do I see? His face.
Yeah.
You know, tattooed. And it was like, that's kind of neat. It was like, I remember one show with Billy, and Billy's hilarious, man. I mean, his stand-ups, I thought it was so fun to watch, man. I always liked him, and he was always off stage. Was just one of the sweetest guys I've ever met, man. So I couldn't be happier for him that he got the show and it was a success. But it's so funny. It's like, here it is, like a Wednesday night. Funny Bone Westport is one of the few clubs in the country that just show every night of the week. Mm. So if someone's like, well, I went there to Wednesday, there was 25 people, and there's like a lot. Well, yeah. Also, no other clubs open on Wednesday.
Right.
So it gives them less days, you know what I mean? So more people can fill because there's less days to go. So, but it was like maybe 20, like I said, 25 people with Billy on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, can you imagine like seeing this guy? And now he could be like your idol on this TV show.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to watch. It's nice to watch how that works. Like a guy. Yeah. And it was a great dude. Like I had this crazy acid reflux problem. Like that's why I had to take Prilosec. I got to eat it like Skittles like every day. And like I didn't take it one day. I was with him and I was like having this acid reflux attack. And he's like, I'll drive you. Like took me to Walgreens. I got this. And then he was like checking on me the next day. But he was just a good dude. And I was just, and again, he goes to 40 clubs a year probably at the time. So he doesn't, you know, and it was just a guy that was like, you know, just always cool. It was cool to see you at a venue like a Wednesday night show in a Funny Bone. And now you're making who knows how much a year with Mike and Molly. And this is great, you know. So it was the type of, but it's just in relation to what you were saying. Sure, like a guy who was just, you know, just doing a show in front of 20 people. Now you got 40,000 singing your, you know, your song back to you. So it's got to be amazing.
Yeah, he's not quite to Billy level yet, but like that's how I feel with like Tommy John again.
Sure.
Watching him come up as a, you know, young comic, and then now he's been on Letterman.
He's been on like eight times, and I think he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Meantime, I'm turning 35, and I've done like 6 podcasts. That's my credit. I've had the pleasure of opening up for him, and Tommy's one of those guys. He's so good at it that I don't like doing shows with him because when I get off stage and you're saying goodbye to people, I'm like, yeah, I was doing the same feel that he was. I was trying to do that too. But my version was just nothing like how he did. Like, I'm trying to be him one day. It's like, that's how amazing. I mean, that guy, he's just a prodigy in my opinion. I mean, that guy just, and I think he hustled. I mean, I think he was a grinder from what I've heard. He would go, you know, I've heard stories about, I think, him and other dudes like driving 8-9 hours to do an open mic.
Yeah.
I mean, I fucking tip my hat to you, man, because I don't do that because I'm lazy. And that's why I won't be the best. I might just be good. And I'm all right with a C+. I'm all right. That's how I was in school. I'm like, you know, C's a little above average.
And you totally fail?
So who cares? That's me. I'm a, what's it called? Underachiever, I guess. I mean, I just can't.
C is average. If you start going those D routes,
you know, at least. But no, I mean, I remember hearing stories like that. And you're like, well, man, you're like, that's driving to Indianapolis, you know, one way and then back the same night to do 4 minutes of time. You put 500 miles in your car to do less than 300 seconds of material.
That's amazing, you know, so. And then somebody's like, that dude's a douchebag because he freaking... So then you're like, he just worked all this crap and he's probably had 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, those are the situations where guys probably get bad raps because they just work on their ass off and people think, you better be cool with me the whole time I talk to you because I'm having a good day. It's like, chill out, dude.
Right, yeah. We don't know. Yeah, I mean, I was always told, man, that, you know, there's not a lot of the tricks in this business or not, you know. For young guys like myself, because I don't like to speak like I'm a headliner or anyone. I'm not young in the business, I should say. Not, you know, whatever you want to call 34. But, you know, be as nice to as many people as you can. It is a surprise because I've actually met more dicks out of the amateurs and I have headliners. You'd think it'd be the other way around.
Right.
And then, you know, And then they, then that, you know, the dick open micer wants to know why he's not getting work.
Yeah.
Why not? You know why? Because you're a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not a friendly dude. It's like, you think I am not that good at what I do up there, but I think I'm pretty nice to people.
Right.
But yeah, you don't kiss ass. Just be normal. Just
sincere.
Be polite. And,
a decent human being. Heaven forbid.
And then people are like, you know what, this guy, he might not be the funniest dude, but man, is he easy to get work with.
Yeah,
he gets along with the wait staff, the bartenders. He tips.
Yeah.
He doesn't cause a scene. He's not getting drunk. I'm back. That's why I try and keep my head like Omaha. I don't screw around up there, man. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And comedy's fun, man. You do. It's a fun... There's a lot of perks with it. You know, you get free food and drinks and you hang out. It's like you get to make people laugh and you get paid for it. I mean, if that isn't the coolest thing ever, I don't know what it is. It's amazing. It really is. But there's also a way to behave at these places where it's like, you know, and I'm not naming names, but I know guys personally who are not going back to even that club in particular because they just couldn't handle their alcohol or because, you know, they like flipped out on a customer or because they, you know, didn't like their joke. So then they just started being like, well, F you, you know, for telling me. It's like, just gotta take a trip. I know people are gonna like me, you know?
Right.
I'm just like, well, I'm not for everyone. That's my answer.
Exactly,
I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry that you don't like my story about me, you know, being humiliated. I try and go more self-deprecation anyways. I'm sorry I wasn't shitting on myself enough.
I
literally
enough,
rip on my face about looking older than 34. I'm sorry, that's, you know. Most people, I will say, usually, it's like, they do funner. I'd say most people go to comedy shows, it's under the school of, you know, if they don't have anything nice to say, they just don't say it at all. It's either, hey, I really like you, or, you know, just walk by and answer that, you know. Someone's like, all
right,
let me break you down.
Yeah,
let me figure out. It's like, really? You work at fucking Taco Bell. You don't know anything about it. Don't break down my business, you idiot.
Yeah, I don't know what really good came out of saying, you're pretty terrible tonight. Oh, thank you. That's, I mean, unless it's like 20 years down the line, like, you know what? The moment that changed my life was that guy told me I suck, and then I took, you know, but...
It's hard because I know, I mean, well, I won't speak for other guys, but I'll speak for, it does eat me up. I could get 99 good comments.
That one.
And then the one guy is like, dude, you were just a mess up there.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, ugh! And then be like, Sean, you got to look at the glass is not half full. It's all the way full, minus 1 ounce. And you're letting that 1 ounce piss you off. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Because it's just like, you just feel the need. You got to please everyone. You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess but that does what kind of drives you though, you know? I mean, there's the good, I mean, you like, but you don't want to, you probably wouldn't be as good as what you were if somebody ever was just like, yeah, you're doing great all the time. Because you wouldn't push yourself to
yeah,
be
man. I mean, what definitely drives me is like, I did open mic last night and I stunk, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a lot of new bits and, you know, they just weren't ready, you know? Just, you know, and there was it was a bad set, you know? And it's like, you're like, man. And I was like, I've done that. And you hate bombing after you've been doing it 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Not that I mean I'm going to go up and kill every time because I'm not that type of seasoned comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have enough material where I know, I was like, all right, this stuff has worked pretty consistently.
Yeah.
I go to. So when you like try new stuff, that's why I think sometimes guys are so, not in all comedians. I don't speak for, I speak for just, you know, I mean, kind of, they know who they are. But I mean, some guys are a little, you know, not as aggressive trying new material because it's just like, man, it's a risk. I was like, man, do I want to go up here, throw this up there, have it flop, you know, and then burn the room down? It's like, oh, jeez, man.
Now, how do you go about when you're writing material? Like, is there a process you have for it?
It's
a
good question. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a classic joke writer by any means. No one ever said, maybe you're Sean O'Brien's writing. I am more articulate with actually like these type of things. I talk through... I'm not good with text. I'm not good with email. Again, I just, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about, you know, the process. In the beginning, I tried to just take, you know, okay, I'm going to do a bit about used cars that I used to sell and then write out what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It just didn't flow.
Yeah.
It didn't transfer for me. So now it's kind of a weird thing. I'll kind of just do like bullets and like just make sure I like say this about it. And then I kind of on open mic try and just let it come out.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like a lazy and cheap way of going about it, but organically I can almost make a joke for my style.
Yeah.
Come to life a little better if I just, it's like, all right, here's the premise. Here's a scenario. All right, let's get this going, you know?
Yeah.
And if there's something that I can... So basically what I'm saying is I do write a little bit on stage in a sense, like for me, and not in that traditional, put it in a notebook, put it in on a laptop. Now I do have, you know, I have like, you know, set lists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of guys that would completely disagree with what I just said. like they would be like they don't like that. But there's other guys I think that do understand what I said, because that is just me as a person, man. Yeah. Like it's just it's hard. I don't say it's hard for me to write, and I'm telling you, it's not a thing about lazy, but I can't transfer it. I don't know how to write. As dumb and moronic as this is about the sound, I don't know how to like transfer my thoughts onto paper. But yeah, if I go on a stage, record myself,
yeah,
and then just, you know, be like, all right, this funny thing happened, just talk about it, you know. And yeah, another thing I do is like, I never try and purposely be funny, mm-hmm, when I'm with friends, family, whatever, hanging out. But if I'm telling a story, like I'm on a trip or whatever, yeah, and you just organically laugh at it, and I'm not doing stand-up, I'm just telling you, I'm, yeah, like, well, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe there might be something there.
Right.
Because you just laughed at that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing stand-up, I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'm on to something. Maybe, so I might try and iron out and be like, well, why are these guys laughing there? What made you,
yeah,
laugh, you know? And so then that's kind of how my style is. I'm like, all right, well, I just told that story about going over this toll booth in Florida and how the guy was giving me shit. Actually, I'll just tell it right now. I'm not doing any bits. This is... But this is the thing. I was in Florida, the stupid Florida. This is how I'm wired as a person, because I have all this. I get so mad at, like, I just feel like the world we live in, man, it's like customer service is gone. Like, I have big problems with Charter and DirecTV, and I'm Verizon, and these are all people I use. I'm paying them, mm-hmm, but there's always some shakedown. There's always, my bill's not what they quoted me. I can never get anyone on the phone. I can never get, like, there's nothing resolved. And I just feel, yeah, like this is kind of, like, I don't know if it was like that 10 years ago. I guess it was. But, so my point is, I was driving over this bridge in Florida. I was in Tampa for this wedding, and he goes over, like, Sarasota. It's like the Sunrise Bridge. It's like this 5-mile bridge over the bay or something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's $1.25 to go over the bridge. Fair enough, right? So let's see. Let's just think about this for a minute, too. How many... Big highway, lots of traffic, 5 lanes. They're probably mopping up somewhere north of 10 grand a day. And I'm probably light at that. Just for using your pavement.
Yeah.
So I go, and I was like... I had, like, a bunch of 20s on me and a 5. And I'm like, well, I need some singles. I want to tip, like, the valet guy. And I just wanted to, you know, I was staying in a hotel with a soda machine. And whatever. I just want to... So I give the guy his 20. So the guy's like, well, just shakes his head. He's like, I don't, he's like, well, I'm going to have to go in the bank bag and give you singles.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, that's correct. That's how it works.
You're mad.
But basically, I'm like, sir, what? I don't see the problem. He's like, well, you know, this is a 20. I go, sir, let me get this straight. This is what I said to him, too. I'm like, you're mad at me that I'm paying you guys. You're the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And you're upset with me because I don't have exact change on a 20?
Yeah.
You act like, you know, how about I just give you 100 now just to really rattle you? What will that do? I mean, but this guy, it's like, I'm the bad guy here.
Yeah.
I'm the guy at fault for paying him. And you know what? All that fucker had to do was be nice. If he All he had to do was this. Hey, look, dude, I'm kind of tight by on singles. Any chance you got like a 5 or anything smaller?
Yeah.
I got you. I'll give you my 5. But now, just to spite this son of a bitch, I'll be like, well, you better start counting because I need my change back. Or you can just let me pass and you guys can eat $1.25, you cheap sons of bitches.
Yeah.
But it was like, that's... Now you're saying, like, now I tell that. Now some people will laugh at that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not, there's no intent of me being funny. That wasn't me trying. That's just me being honest and very raw and what happened. But if you... or Shane smiled once or laughed in that story, yeah, I might be like, well, maybe there's something I could actually turn that into a joke. And that's where you start doctoring, like, punchlines. And,
yeah.
And that's when you're like, yeah, this guy treated me like I, you know, was the prison guard who let the Alcatraz guys escape. That's when you start inserting
kind
your punchline stuff.
A little, yeah.
That's how I would, you know, would go, something like that.
Yeah.
So that... To spin this all the way back to your original question. That's how I try and go about my ride. I try and keep it as honest as I can. I try and keep it as just about me.
Yeah.
In terms of how I see the... You know, I don't really do the, you know... I guess it's observational. I mean, I don't know. I just try and talk, pull from my life. I never got into sex humor. I never got into dick jokes. It wasn't my thing, man. I don't begrudge anyone who does that. That's your thing. Great. I don't know. To me, it just... I've never really heard a good a good sex joke that really made me roll over laughing, you know? And right. It was like, and I just don't feel like I'm the type of guy, I just don't have anything good on it, you know? It's not like I haven't been late or anything before I go up there and talk about my dick if you want. It just, I just don't find that interesting, you know? But yeah. Don't get me wrong, there is a market, and yeah. There are guys who are amazing at it, you know? Yeah. And I applaud them, so... That's just not my thing. Again, if someone's like, what's your worst crotch? I do say the F word too much, you know? I've already done it here. I don't know. It's just hard for me because I grew up in a house for some reason. I grew up in a normal house, but like some reason that was okay. Irish Catholic, church every Sunday, but my dad would be in the pew and be like, God damn it, will you shut up? It's like, you're negating why you're here, you know? You might do some overtime because you shouldn't say that in the Lord's home.
Right.
It was like a big, but I never like hit us. They weren't crazy or anything. Right. They were very normal. There was just a lot of cursing. I had two older brothers and everything was like, you, fuck you, don't. So again, when we say it, it was like never offensive because it was like, sadly, just a... Such just a word in our daily life.
It's kind of funny if you think about swearing in general, of how it's just words. We're just like, why are we so uptight about... Like, I mean, I'm the same way because when I hear my son say it, I'm like...
Yeah.
Like, but if people just didn't so much be like, that's a bad... Like, it blows my mind because I think of it, it's just a word. It's just a four-letter word.
Yeah,
I mean, I can understand other words that are like derogatory towards people.
Right.
But like, damn, shit, like... I just don't.
You know the one that still makes me laugh to this day, and I'm sure I'm not the only guy to come up with this thought, is the fact that TV's shows will still, like on cable, will blur out the middle finger.
Yeah.
Like, the contents of the show is like, you're going to catch a rapist. So yeah. I'm okay to, someone's like, get on that. Fire like, I know, yeah, like, yeah, there's burn victims because of some lunatic. That's like the premise of the show that you got to find him, but he put his hand in the air and there's a blur. If I don't know what that means in the first place anyways, I'll never... And again, that's kind of like a hacky thought because I think people that's probably been touched on. But I mean, just point is like that to me was always like, how is that even...
What's wrong?
Because now they are getting a little bit more liberal, I think, on TV with, you know, like an AMC, you know, like you can... I think you can...
Get away with
it. It's a little bit more, you know, but it's like that middle finger goes in the air and it's like,
all bets are off. Hold on, guys.
Let's get the filter. Let's get the blur.
We're gonna have to.
It's like, well, gee, that's a good thing because even though I'm watching The Walking Dead, I just saw this guy get his head macheted off and stabbed in the eye. I don't want to see that finger go because that's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're gonna cut the finger off. But there's two other fingers up, then we might think about it, but I'm not going to...
Just don't express it. I always thought that was a bizarre, that rule's still in effect, so...
I think, I don't think it was about the middle finger quote, but I think John Mulaney's kind of got a bit about something like that, like with SVU, and how, Law and Order SVU, and how, like, they talk about some of the nastiest, you know, stuff.
Oh, okay,
that,
yeah.
You know, like, the material of that show is always about murder and rape and, you know, and everything, but, like... They never curse at all. Like, you know, so
right. Like, cops seeing bodies and they're not destroyed. Yeah, they're always just like, oh shucks.
Oh, gee golly, this is not good looking currently. Yeah.
No, and again, that's why, and I didn't know that he did that. But, I mean, that's why I preface it by saying I'm sure I'm not the only one.
He goes and does he does like an Ice-T impression in there too. Like I think, and so I don't.
Yeah.
I forget exactly how the bit is, but I remember there's something like that. Like
yeah.
But yeah, it's just funny to me.
No, it is.
You know why they blur it all? It's Stone Cold Steve Austin's fault.
Oh, yeah?
Flipping all those people off back in the 90s, man. He used them all up.
That's right.
I remember.
Yeah, because, you know, those highbrow wrestling fans.
Hey.
Sorry, WWE. Hey, I didn't mean to. How about
easy.
That?
There's WrestleMania party in my house.
I was in the wrestling. I was into it until I became an adult.
An adult.
No, I can see the entertainment value in it, though. I mean, I can see... Like, my buddy, he's like the big... Like, the funny thing about the wrestling people is that they are so engrossed in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's exciting for them for you to come over and watch WrestleMania with them. And you have no idea what the hell's going on. You don't follow it. But, like, just you being there... Like, to watch their joy. I like watching them get so excited. You know, it's like, do you see what's going on right now? Did you see what's going on with The Rock and Cena? Can you believe it? And I go, I don't even know who they are. I don't even know.
And we have a WrestleMania party at my house every year.
Yeah.
There's a few, most people come over, like, cool. But they're not, like, there's a few that are kind of hardcore into it. But most people are just kind of sitting around and, like... So, like, this year, The Undertaker's big thing was he had the streak going. And he lost the streak. And everyone's like, whoa! And then there's a few people just like... Okay, he lost. What's so big about it? We're like, that's the streak. You don't understand. 20 days or whatever it is.
See, what I'll do is, man, I went to the same thing. My buddy is the host of WrestleMania party.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm the only one there who doesn't know what's going on. But I'm just there for the hang. You know, I'm there for the hang and the drinks and the food. So whatever. But then, like, one of the buddies, one of the wives is there, and she, like, is really into it as well. But then, like, she gets mad if I ask a question. I'm like, well, if I gotta watch this shit, let me fill it. So then, and she just gets so angry. I'm like, well, how come that guy has paint in his face and the other guy? Is one guy allowed to wear paint and not? Stop asking questions! Stop asking questions! Just watch from the beginning. She gets all fired up, so I just stare into that more. I'm like, how come the Undertaker had those things around his arm? Did that mean something? Was that a symbol or something? I'll just, like, and then just drive him crazy. I'm like, well, good. Stop inviting me to these parties then. Then you, this won't happen.
Is the Undertaker really dead? How does he come back to life?
You can't expect me to watch something in the middle because it is some, like, of a series of a show.
Exactly,
and then if you were to watch this crap, then I didn't say it's crap. I can understand the entertainment value, absolutely. But don't get mad when I ask questions. It's like, hey, let's watch Breaking Bad. Let's start at season 5 and don't ask a thing. You'd be like, this is awesome, but I still don't quite get it. I need a more of a backstory.
Everybody's like, I can't believe he got killed. And like, well, obviously if you knew back in season 2.
Oh, spoiler alert, you guys might want to do that.
I don't even know. I've never seen it.
Oh, you haven't?
No, never watched it.
Okay, well, now I just actually then ran it out the thing, but okay.
If it's not Game of Thrones.
We're talking about Dexter, everyone. We're actually talking about Dexter.
Yeah.
Dexter.
And the Golden Girls reboot.
Dexter.
No big deal. They'll never know. I don't watch a whole lot. Like, I can't watch Game of Thrones, like I said. And wrestling and Game of Thrones is the only thing I really watch on a normal basis.
Is the Game of Thrones decent? I mean, people see there's a buzz there. I've tried it once, man. I can be honest. It's not. But I'm a weirdo with shows. I don't like stuff that not, like... Like, I never watched Braveheart. I tried for 5 minutes and I just couldn't do it. Like, I'm not.
Well, that's like some people are like, I don't like the old kind of like the medieval whatever deal. But yeah. It's pretty. I enjoy it. That's the only show. But like at the same time, I think I tried to watch Walking Dead. I just couldn't get into it. But again, I only watched like 1 or 2 episodes. I think it's something if you're able to get through about 4 or 5, which.
And I was surprised. I didn't think I'd get into The Walking Dead at all. I've never been into zombies, any comic book, or any of that crap. I never cared at all.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, I bought into it, man. I bought into it. And I do. It's fun TV.
If you can
fun.
Stay with it then you'll start to get into it, and you start to kind of build not relationships, like kind of relate to characters, or you start to kind of get more emotionally attached to characters, and not just like this guy is this, because like that's what Game of Thrones and what's so good about it is like nobody is safe when it comes to that show. Like, and I won't say who can die or whatever.
Without even watching it, I've just seen like
It's not real. It's not predictable, but at the same time, like if you read all the books, then you know exactly what happens. It could ruin a lot of people's lives.
Everyone in the show goes for table read, and you're just you're like, oh man. Well, there goes 20 grand.
Fucking signed on for season 6, and I can't do this.
I feel like kind of Walking Dead also had that kind of same. I feel like there was you don't know what they're gonna do type deal, but
I think there's too much TV that's too just normal and they don't take risks of
I think that's why AMC you know, because they have the Breaking Bad and the Walking Dead, and I think they are taking it's not that safe Disney World TV, and I'm not picking on network TV. Well, I guess I kind of am, but I mean it's like. I don't know. It's what you like, though, man. I mean, there's still an audience for, I guess, for those sitcoms and stuff, and that's great. You know, I guess it just depends what you're into. So.
But I think it's impressive that I think AMC and HBO I think are the two channels that are just putting out like just phenomenal programming. That's great because like they're so hard to find something good on TV that at least in my opinion. But like HBO, like I watch Boardwalk Empire, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And,
now y'all tell you a show that man I grabbed onto, and I know not everyone's going to be with me in this. I laughed my effing head off, man. I thought Eastbound and Down was outstanding, man. Kenny Powers, that character with Danny McBride, it was so addicting to watch. God, dude. I mean, it's like this cocky redneck baseball player. And it's just, it's hilarious. It's just the writing on it, the jokes he has, it's... But I've also had some friends who watched it, and they're like, that's not for me. So again, man, it keeps it back to our original point. It's all music, you know. Again,
what's enjoy to you?
One's Coldplay Clocks, and then the other's I will always defend that song, by the way, if anyone wants to get on me. So, do we have any questions? Did you put up a thing? Any questions? Did anyone comment on that? It's probably just some nerd
when was the last time you banged a chick? LOL, or some bullshit.
Here's the thing that we've realized: whenever we try to get any type of social interaction, we are like. Hey, share this, and we'll give away. Well, we have some passes for the core complex. We're like, just share this. All you have to do is share, and like, two people, and we're like,
I know. Well, the problem is, I take blame because I'm just ultimately, I'm not really anyone special. Like, I don't have any credits going on. It's not like, yeah, sure, he was just on Last Comic Standing. You know, he's got some things going. So I'm just like just a typical MC slash middle act right now. So.
All we need is just somebody to just hit that share button. Sure. Heaven forbid they share about how Obama is going to make aliens come back to whatever it is.
Like, oh, I know.
Stupid links because on Facebook.
But. Politics online is always, it's always settled. Right. It always ends well for everyone. So. Yeah.
All right, do you have some questions?
Yeah, here's what the fans want to know.
the it should be cute. see how sarcastic they all are.
Yeah, here we go. What is your favorite One Direction hit?
That's funny. You would think that you could actually hear, this is live stream, you think that's like a pick on a Coldplay rapper.
Yeah.
Like, if he likes they Coldplay, knew, he probably likes One Direction.
They knew. Who's your favorite?
Yeah. All right. I know that's being sarcastic. I'll take it. They're the little kids that dance around and stuff.
Well, there's two. There's One Direction and there's another one. It's like the One It or something. And they're like battling British boy bands.
Yeah.
Is it?
Apparently there's even like a new one, like 5 Seconds of Summer or something. Like, I don't know.
I guess I can't respond to that because I don't know. I would like to know what caused him or her to ask that question. That would be my question. I'd have to answer question with question.
Here's the thing: One Direction is now kind of the punchline in the sense of like music day because they're band.
But see, I feel like then that's safe because they admit they're we're not fooling anymore. Yeah, we're marketing ourselves to 8-year-old girls.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing is like older guys are like, oh, you probably listen to One Direction. Yeah. I mean, that's like when you say. Probably
you know what? I'll Spotify it on the way home. I'll reply in the thread.
I'm sure you. I mean, you couldn't get anywhere without hearing some of that stuff. Like, they got "What Makes You Beautiful" or whatever. Like that was all over.
I heard of it when I worked at Penny's. I'd hear
them all the time. Oh yeah. I used to work at Gordman's, and like you'd sit there and you'd all that same couple songs be on over and over.
And then you find yourself singing to them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Christmas time was the worst with that stuff. Like. Whenever that Christmas loop.
What's Gordman's?
It's
from here, so.
It's just a retail. Probably. It's like Kohl's, but like a lower. Is it lower end?
Yeah, discounted
prices.
Yeah, kind of like a.
Like irregular pants, like a 39-12 waist or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, everything seems like. I don't know. Like in the men's, I noticed there's a lot of like. Like FUBU.
Yeah, I feel like they're a few years behind in like fashion. Like, and not on a fashion thing, but it feels like there's like jeans and stuff like from 90 or 2000.
It's kind of one of those places they like you buy in bulk, like all this like stuff, and then like that didn't sell in somebody else's store, and then kind of sell there. I don't know.
All right. Well, man, I'll head there after this place.
Yeah, right. Come
on, listen to One Direction. We said.
then next question was. Do you really drink white Zinfandel spritzers?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
Who? Tell me. Well, I don't want to say anyone's name. It's probably someone I used to work with.
Yeah.
It's the guy.
I'll say this. What strangers asking these?
When I used to work at Cheesecake Factory, man, I don't know if he's doing a callback or the thing that Joe. I used to do. We'd use this game called White Zin Survivor, which is the object was I would purposely try and. Like, encourage people to order white Zin. I'm being such a dick to these people. like someone would be like, yeah, I'd like I'll take that, La Crema Pinot Noir, which is like a $15 glass. I'm like, by the way, I was like, we also have a white Zin, if you're in it. Like, excuse me. I'm like, well, you know, it's 04, Stress Vineyards that year. It was Stress Vineyards. Like, I just would repeat Stress Vineyards.
Selling, like, just
and I just make up these codes. And so, it would, like, you gotta, like, pick your battles with it. Like, right. You can't do it. But like, some of, like, the hick-looking people, you could really mess with them.
Yeah.
Because even if they didn't want, like, if they were drinking a Sprite, I'd be like, hey, you want something that's, like, a Sprite with a little bit of zip to it? And I'd be like, I can do a little, because with White Zin Survivor, the deal is, then if the name really didn't fit what we were doing, we just called that to say it. So it doesn't, the name doesn't match the game. But we would just be like... It'd be like everyone would chip in a dollar. If like whoever played, you get a dollar. You got another dollar if you got it to order with ice, because sometimes people will put it over ice.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get a $5 if you got it with cranberry juice as well. So it'd be like white Zin, and I'd be like, I can make it like a kind of like a sangria. Like I would just say that and throw in a cherry.
Yeah.
And it was, and people are like, man, this is really neat.
You gotta go check out that drink.
And we are howling in the back.
Yeah.
This is the immaturity of me. I'm 28 years old. This is what I'm doing to people having a good. This is why. I'm going to probably die a tragic death because I have it coming. Because I do things like this to people for no reason.
Like karma.
But I was never mean about it. I was never, and it is a legitimate drink. It's not like, it's just, it gets picked on because it's like a wine cooler. Right, you know, it's not.
It's the Nickelback. The thing is, wine.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, wine people, you know, that, I mean, you would talk about, you know, it's just like a snobbish community of like, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, little, this is a, yeah, the thing, and it's like, man.
Smells like it's 7 years old. I don't know what the heck.
I got four Bud Lights in my fridge. Do you think I give a shit about some wine? You know, I mean, if that's your thing, great.
Right.
You know, I'm not, but that's why selling wine at a restaurant, man, if you ever go to a nice restaurant and they'll push it on you, and it's like, how do I even know you're pouring this? You know what I mean? Yeah. This would be the biggest scam on the planet.
Yeah. Straight out of the box.
Straight out of the box, man.
Is that the last one? Last question?
It's all not. It's just me getting clowned. Yeah. I guarantee it. I'm just getting clowned and everything.
The last one was, how do you get your hair to do that?
Okay, that's fair.
There you go. It's always good to know about hair products.
All right.
If any product is used. You know.
Do I know that person?
That's the... Actually, the same guy that asked about the
man, he's on fire.
Yeah, he's just curious.
I wish I understood what he meant by that one because I know him. That's why.
Well, I think maybe,
he's being a ball breaker.
Maybe in reference to the pitcher.
To there, I mean, I go a number two on the sides with a blend, and I use a little bit of crew.
There you go.
A little pile, a little fiber. There's just kind of spike it up and go with it.
Sport clips.
I gotta be on. You know, I actually go to this. It used to be called. It's called like Look After Hair Company now. It used to be called like Custom Cuts, and now they've changed. Yeah. Whatever, I know the girls, you know, they're cool. I give them tickets to the show and whatever. I just go in there and rant and rave. They're actually all right. So, I mean, I got a dumb head. I got no hair. It's not like, why would I spend $50? You know, it's like, I guess you go to that sports clip or whatever, and like they'll also like rub your back or something, you know? It's I mean, all right, great. If I want a massage, I'll go to the Envy place.
All right, just get my hair. Let me leave.
So there you go. You can tell that people really want to know how my life's going, man. White Zen questions, hair.
Three questions more than we've ever gotten before.
Yeah. But yeah, people are chiming in. Yeah.
So here's the thing. You've not only broken the record for probably the most swears on that
episode. I know.
Episode,
I'm sorry. I
but
did.
Also, for the most questions, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I guess that's I figured if I'm going to hit you with the F word, you can at least maybe. The thing is, I really don't think people are too offended. I mean, it depends. Yeah. Unless you're like streaming this into like
we're gonna put it on church a Christian radio station. Yeah.
The only thing I say is I did say it out of the gate, so there's no one's gonna listen to it. Be like, wait a minute, where is that coming from?
We can put a disclaimer on beforehand if you want to.
That's your decision. That's you guys do that part, but I at least set up front. Look. Can I curse a little?
And on iTunes, there's a little E for explicit, so they're just bringing it on their own.
Yeah, and I understand if you guys got to trash this one, you know, I get it, man. Trust me, it's
I appreciate.
Well, we were gonna, I mean, just purely for content, not for language.
But, yeah, I mean, just really talking about anything good.
Yeah,
as soon as you trash on Nick,
not
like,
a lot of
like,
substance. Yeah,
stop. We'll stop that right now.
The second that someone's like, I really enjoy Coldplay. And like I really guy, do. I really don't mind it. But again, the key word, sonically. I love music sonically.
Loves the atmosphere of the music.
Yep. If you have a laptop and you know how to make noises with it, you're mine. Oh. I will.
I'm gonna go home tonight and I'll be like, hey, this song, a new album I have out, it's $20.
I couldn't believe it, man. This guy is washed out. There's another one, and I guess it's like some 24-year-old. I guess he's like a DJ. I think it's just, but he does sing. But it's. I love the sound of it, and it's just, it's not real. I guess it's not real. But I like it, so I'm not picking on them, but people are picking on me for liking it, you know, so.
I seen, like, a meme on Facebook the other day. It was like, you know, one of the DJs up there with just the laptop, and it's like, yeah, come see my computer live.
I just saw that. Yeah, I just saw that.
So, you got you're opening for Todd Barry, right?
Yeah, man, that's actually pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. That's going to start in a couple weeks here in St. Louis, I think August 19th at the Firebird.
Yeah, that's a cool club. They've been doing a lot of great, like...
they've been getting a lot of guys, man. That just, I think it works out, man. They can come in, do the one show, and... you know, because we're doing like six shows in six different cities.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's like St. Louis, Casey, Omaha, and then we do like Pierre, Bismarck, Sioux Falls, some all of the Dakotas, like whatever cities of Dakotas. And so yeah, it should be good. I never met the guy. I'm not sure how I got it. I think someone just told him he's got a clean car. So I think that's what they care about. Is he like, he doesn't smoke. And he doesn't have dogs. Not that I don't like dogs, because some guys have allergies.
Yeah.
And his car's clean. So that's...
presentation.
That, I think, because I did the same thing last year with Judah Freelander. Mm. And I remember he was just like, I'm like, yeah, man, I make sure I'll do a good job. He's like, yeah, how's your car look? I'm like, oh, it's an 07 Camry, you know? I get the LS package, not bragging, but...
bad.
He's like, yeah, all right, so let's make sure you know we look clean. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, car's clean. So I feel like it didn't matter. I could go up front and just, you know, pee in the audience, literally. Yeah. Just, as long as the car...
As long as the car was fine.
But he was awesome. No, man, he was, that was a really cool thing. I got to hang and meet, you know. Because I pick these guys up, and you're like... You don't. I've never met him before. There was no like, and it's like, oh, now we're gonna get in a car and go drive 800 miles together.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, those ice breaking questions and stuff. And, but right. he was super cool, and that was a nice experience. So yeah, hopefully this Todd Berry thing that'll be a hopefully a nice time. You know,
just kinda... Judah stay in character like the whole time?
No, man. No, he's got that down.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of. It's not like it's like two completely different people, but yeah. I mean, no, it's definitely that is a. He's got that down ice cold, and he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's a pro's pro. Yeah. He's the best. He crushes, man. I mean, we did, you know, just murders. Another guy I did shows with. I'm just like, why? Why am I on this? Yeah, I was trying to also do the same art form as that guy. I'm sorry you had to put up. Luckily, I go first, so then you forget about me. That's why it's like the joke. You want to follow someone who does well but not crushes, because then you're like, oh god, I can't do even close.
Like,
you know,
go be say, how's my set? I'm like, who are you? What? You wanna, no, I was up there. I did it.
You want to go to a festival and go on after Zeppelin in '78? You're like, actually, is that could that be a fair reference? Were they still around '78?
It's out of my jurisdiction.
I'll say '64. That would be.
I don't know.
20th century.
You're good.
So yeah, I do. Yeah, Todd, that'll be fun, and I'm looking forward. So if anyone out of your plethora of listeners is going to be in the area. I guess Midwest, that's what they're calling, you know, Kansas City, Omaha.
Check it out.
Pierre, Bismarck, sweet. And Sioux Falls.
You're on the Twitter, too. The old Twitter.
Yeah, I do it, man. I mean, again, I have 320 followers. Twitter's a tough...
That's 120 more than me, man.
Twitter is a tough room. I don't quite get... it yet. I don't know. I mean, and that's just not my thing to go up there and write 140 characters of just quick, sharp jokes.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, more conversationalist.
Well, see, that's
just hard for me.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine trying to.
I don't know what anyone wants
over.
From me on Twitter.
Yeah.
You
just
know,
want to know what you're eating.
I guess they want to, yeah. They wanna. Twitter's, it's fun. You know, I think a lot of people, I think so, there's some unfairness to it at times where I think some people are getting books and booked at shows and stuff because it's like based on followers and you're like, man, that's something I'm not saying all people, but I'm like, I just don't see how that's fair. If you go on and kept killer tweets, that means you can go and do 45 minutes of stand-up. Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's hard to translate.
It's like two totally,
different mediums.
That's like you wrote a blog. So you're like, oh, now I'll just write a book.
Yeah.
Because that's like, what is that? Okay.
I'd love to go and just listen to that guy talk.
But yeah, I do the Twitter. My dumb handle, I don't even know why it's worth saying. It's, I had to change it because my dumb name is so common.
I was saying.
Sean O'Brien is like seriously like one of the top five Irish names in the world, I think.
Yeah.
And so I went with Sean _ O'Brien's.
There you go.
So it's like Sean _ O'Brien with an S. Wow. So get on board, everyone, and you'll
check
me
out.
You'll just check me out doing nothing but probably trying. I'll try and be funny on there and just bombs. Just sits there. No favorites, no retweets. I think I'm clever.
That's
just a dipshit. Classic dipshit. No, sorry.
You should make that your profile. Classic dipshit.
You should. Actually, my profile is
Twitter
a disappointing
handle.
Follow.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I say. I keep it nice and honest.
There you go. Sweet. Well, man, we appreciate you coming.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I had a nice time. I appreciate you letting me chat and, have some. I let out all my anger about the toll booth.
That's all right.
Sorry for yelling there. I get so worked up. And then the thing is, I was telling that to someone too, and they're like, you know, it was $1.25. And I go, don't defend him.
Yeah, don't
defend him because he had to go in the bank bag and give me singles back. I hated it. No, thanks, guys. I had a nice time, and hopefully this thing,
hopefully
we'll do it again in a couple of years if it keeps moving, you know?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Episode 10, it's a wrap. Thank you, Sean O'Brien.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.